Chapter 18 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, of Assurance of Grace and Salvation, Section 4. True believers may have the assurance of their salvation divers ways shaken, diminished, and intermitted, as by negligence and preserving of it, by falling into some special sin which wounds the conscience and grieves the spirit, by some sudden or vehement temptation, by God's withdrawing the light of his countenance and suffering even such as fear him to walk in darkness and to have no light, yet are they never utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience, of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may in due time be revived, and by the which, in the meantime, they are supported from utter despair. The major task of a chapter on assurance of grace and salvation is to talk about how wonderful and normal this assurance is and why it is helpful. The second task is to comfort those whose faith is weak and whose assurance might be lacking. Having touched on both of these, the final paragraph takes this discussion deeper and suggests reasons why a Christian might struggle with doubt about his or her salvation. In the experience of the authors of this confession, and according to their study of the Scriptures, it appears that assurance of salvation can be shaken, diminished, and intermitted in a variety of ways. For instance, true believers can be negligent in preserving their faith, careless about using God's means of grace, such as Bible reading, prayer, and careful attention to preaching and the administration of the sacraments. We can become like the drowsy lover of canticles who is slow, really far too slow, in responding to her beloved when he knocks on the door of her heart, and eventually he goes away. Sometimes we struggle spiritually because we are too slow in doing what is good, sometimes because we have succumbed to the very bad. And it's then that we find our consciences wounded, or at any rate deeply troubled. Perhaps you know what that's like. You know you ought to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, or whatever your habitual sin might be. Instead, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You behave in a way that takes away confidence in your salvation. But not all sin is habitual. Sometimes we walk into sin that is new or unusual to us. We may even crumble under a sudden or vehement temptation. King David did this when he fell into adultery. The Apostle Peter did this when he denied his friend and Lord. But we must be clear that not everyone found in spiritual darkness has been negligent or has committed some particular sin. In our Lord's and our Sovereign's perfect plan, he sometimes sees fit to withdraw the light of his countenance, suffering even such as fear him to walk in darkness and to have no light. We find ourselves stumbling through the dark or laying in the dark, unable to sleep. Sometimes we lose almost all hope and perspective. Feeling cut off from God's sight, we can even conclude that darkness is our closest friend. Things can be grim for God's people. However, the Word of God speaks eloquently to the fact that even if we feel deserted, or even if God may choose to distance himself from us for some reason known only to him, yet we're never left utterly destitute and hopeless. We're never left without the Spirit, the seed of God that's planted in us. Therefore, we're never so dead that there's no life of faith, no love for Christ and the brethren, no sincerity of heart or conscience about our duty. These things may be reduced or suppressed drastically, but the Spirit is still at work in us. Job, for example, was a troubled man in the midst of his own suffering. He still sometimes spoke with great wisdom, and at other points with great faith, even vowing at one point that if God was intent on ending his life, he would still hope in him. Glimmers of godliness can also be seen amidst the spiritual depression that permeates Psalm 73 or Psalm 51. And the prophet could call even the most despondent to their duties in Isaiah 50. This is really the confession of many downcast Christians who can say in truth that in his good time the Holy Spirit revived them, gave them confidence of their salvation, and enabled them in turn to strengthen their brothers. But whether or not this is their conscious experience during moments of personal doubt, the reality is that in the meantime, the Holy Spirit uses all means at his disposal to support us and keep us from utter despair. This has been a dear doctrine of God's people from ancient times. This is the promise made to Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's the confession made by the psalmists, sometimes with confusion, and of Micah with clarity. Well, in whatever state you might be in, let it always be an article of your creed that in your greatest darkness, God can give you light. Hope is the life breath of Christianity. God is the one who gave us the light of the world. Let us never forget that. Let us trust that he will shine the light of his gospel into our lives and answer to our prayers and the prayers of all his dear children.